I remember the first time landing at SFO. We took BART into the city. My buddy and I, we got sent immediately. We're like, oh, what should we do? And somebody's like, take this bus, get off at this stop. We're like, great. And they sent us right to the heart of the Castro, which was great. And we were like, oh, okay. Like, I'm from New Hampshire. Like, this is wild. This is great. And then we went up to the Hate and we like bought some weed from somebody and smoked, you know, like got stoned. And I was like, but I remember like the landscape of the Bay Area, like just it was so different. Yeah. Like it's so different than anywhere I'd been. And I was just like, this is gorgeous. This is awesome. These hills are so cool. Like, how is the ocean right there?
That was Mark DeVito, co-owner of Standard Deviant Brewing. I'm Jeff, and this is Storied San Francisco, a podcast all about the artists, activists, and small businesses that make this city so special. I had known Mark somewhat through several mutual friends before we sat down in December to record. This episode, part one of two, is mostly about his life up to the point of moving to San Francisco from Boston. Our conversation turned out to be quite a wild ride, some of which I had to edit out for time. And so, I'll step out of the way and get right to it. Here's Mark.
Not blowing smoke up your ass, I'm going to just throw this out there. I was texting a friend about other stuff today. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm going over to Standard Deviant to record a podcast today. He is not so much of a beer drinker. His partner is. He's more of a bourbon guy, but he's like beer adjacent. Anyway, I was just like, it's one of my new favorite places in
I'll
the
take
city.
That. Yeah.
I mean, I was just at Tornado yesterday. Probably my former absolute favorite.
Yeah.
I kind of live nearby. The story is that I went to get my flu vaccine at CVS. It's right there.
It's
and I
was right
like,
across
I can't.
The street.
It is the law that I have to get a beer after that.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like getting tattooed, you have to.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like over the years, starting with Corey's party, whatever year that was before the pandemic.
That was probably 2018.
18. I'm going to say 18. Right? Yeah. And then definitely through the pandemic and with the chili cook-off. Boom. Sealed it. And so Erin, my wife, is absolutely not a beer drinker, and she likes it here a lot.
That's great.
So you've
we've done it.
You've done it.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So we're way jumping ahead. Okay. What I would like to start with, if you can just share with, you know, our listeners.
Ooh, yeah.
Your story, where you're from, what it was like maybe growing up in the 80s?
Well, since this is a podcast and no one can see me, I'll just let them guess by my voice.
Okay.
But yes, in the 80s.
You grew up in the 80s.
I did.
Okay.
And I was born in 1980. So, early 80s, I don't remember much of. I do remember really traumatic instances from childhood, one shitting my pants preschool, and then the following year...
I've done the same. No, I peed in my pants in preschool.
Oh, I shit my pants. It was like, I remember...
They're burned. Those memories are burned.
I remember like the specific like color and texture of said shit. It was so traumatic.
What were you... For me, it was I was embarrassed to ask... To go to the bathroom?
Just that day. I don't remember what led to it.
Yeah.
I remember the shorts I was wearing. They were Ocean Pacific shorts, and I really liked them, but they were unfortunately white.
They were.
Yeah. They stopped existing that day. And then I remember a traumatic experience of horsing around in my first grade classroom and running and jumping over a chair, and my sneaker caught... like the side of a girl's like skirt or whatever, and like pantsed her basically in the middle of the classroom, and my teacher just her eyes got so wide big with this look of like, what the fuck did you just do? What just happened?
I felt
terrible about it for years. Still do.
Yeah,
that was 36 years ago, and I still feel bad about it.
Yeah. Well,
sorry.
You mentioned
whoever you were.
Yeah, she's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
She's definitely on Facebook.
She's definitely listening to this podcast.
It definitely is a podcast. Okay.
Oh, so growing up.
How about not? Yeah.
I love that
you led with trauma.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean, also like pretty spoiled if that's my trauma.
Right.
New Hampshire's a weird place. It's like very small.
It's one of five states I haven't been to.
Oh, wow. You gotta go.
Not on purpose. Like, yeah, I just turned 50 and I wanted to do like all 50 by 50. Yeah, yeah. Just whatever.
I've peed on every state except for Alaska.
Hey, okay.
Sorry, you can't see this on the podcast, but my dog has decided to just sit on the table here.
I feel like the sound that came through on the mics was obviously a dog's tail wagging.
Yeah, yeah, good. Yes. So New Hampshire is like, when I was growing up in the 80s, it was like still under a million people total in the state. Mm-hmm. The town I grew up in does not have a stoplight still to this day.
Okay.
Like, you knew everyone. Mm-hmm. Very rural. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous.
Warm, nice, beautiful summers.
Summers
super
are great.
Fucking cold winters.
Full of, like, mosquitoes and black flies in the summer. And then the winters are... I love winter. I love the snow. I'm a big, like, snowboarder. An advocate of, like...
Snow activities.
Doing snow activities. But what I learned as I got older was I really like to go to the snow and not have the snow, like, always be around for 4 months.
Again, I'm jumping ahead, but, like, your move to Northern California checks that box.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. I didn't even know when I moved here that's what I was getting into, and it's great.
Because the benefits just keep, you know, I've been here almost a quarter of a century, and, like, it keeps...
It's just
being things.
It just is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but we're still in New Hampshire. And you're like barely out of first grade. Were you unintentionally?
I thought we weren't going to talk about the traumatic experiences anymore.
Super small town.
Very small town. Like, I think it's probably up to like 4,000 people now. But
is
it was
your
like,
family still there?
My parents still are there in the
same house that you
grew up.
Yeah.
And my brother. During the pandemic, moved back 15 minutes away from my parents and bought a house and a little plot of land up there.
Do you only have the one sibling?
I do.
Okay, just you and your
just
brother?
Just the two of us.
And who's older?
He's older. Absolute terrors on our parents. If they'd had one more, I think they would have exploded.
Yeah.
My parents are lovely, very, like, sane people, and they had two of the most insane kids.
Yeah. I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm one of three boys.
Yeah. That's good. That's a lot.
Speaking of...
Yeah, yeah.
The trauma went the other way.
Right. I'm sure. Same with us. So we grew up there. Everyone knew each other. You know, we were like... There are people from my small town in New Hampshire who, when I first moved to Boston, which is... a mere like 60 miles away, right? Like, it's not that far. You get there in like an hour if you're at night speeding.
Here to Sacramento.
Basically here to Sacramento. Like, same distance as that. And I remember like coming home on a Sunday to like see my family, and I saw one of my buddies, and he's like, "What's Boston like?" I was like, "Oh, living there is great." But I was like, "No, what is it like?"
Right.
I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I've never been."
Right.
And I was like, "You're 23 years old, and it's like an hour away."
Right.
And he's like, "I've never left the state." And to this day, I don't believe
it's
he
a tiny state.
I believe he still
it's
has never left.
It's a little sliver of bacon.
A tiny state.
Yeah.
At least it's the right side up, unlike Vermont, which is, it's not even debatable. That is an upside down state. When you look at the two of them, clearly Vermont's upside down.
Right. Together, they form a rectangle, kind
basically.
Of.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then it's split
but the,
in the
but
middle
the,
with
a sturdy base. Is New Hampshire
the right side up? And so, pardon my ignorance. Is New Hampshire the one that kind of has a little bit of coastline?
Oh yeah.
We've got Vermont does not.
Vermont's got no coastline, but it has Lake Champlain.
Oh,
we have like I think it's 16 or 17 miles of coastline in New Hampshire. So,
did you live anywhere near that?
Everything's like 45 minutes from everything.
Yeah. I guess my larger point is like, did you do?
Yes.
Ocean stuff.
Ocean was huge.
Yeah.
Water was huge.
Yeah.
Like. We were fortunate, like, you know, I'm lucky that my parents were able to, like, take vacations that they could take their children on, and those would be to, like, the coast, to Maine, or, like, to the coast of New Hampshire. We'd rent a house there for a week and, like, go chill at the beach.
Is New Hampshire, I mean, you just mentioned Maine, but, like, is it close enough? I've never been, one of the other...
I was hopeful. I was like, if you've been to Maine and you didn't stop in New Hampshire,
it would be stupid.
Podcast over.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
But I definitely associate Maine with lobster.
It's
same,
on their license plate.
Right.
There's a lobster on their license plate.
Is it the same in New Hampshire, though?
Yeah, Maine is like Maine has a ton of coastline because it's like all these little coves and bays.
Yeah.
So like as it's like actually measured, like it's one of the longer coastlines in the country, which is
I've heard of that about that. Yeah. And Acadia National Park.
Yep.
Is up
beautiful.
There.
Beautiful.
You've been, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Spent a lot of time in Maine. I'm spending a lot of time everywhere.
Okay, so well, we can probably, I think,
we can get there.
I've got a good idea of small town New Hampshire. I keep hearing Boston.
Yeah, so
was that like college or?
No, I didn't go to college in Boston. However, my grandparents came to the United States from Italy via the north end of Boston.
Okay.
So my dad grew up there.
The DeVito side.
The DeVito side.
Okay.
And there's some other names in there that have like 1,000 vowels.
Oh.
So DeVito is like the tame Italian name of ours.
Okay.
My grandmother was a Sinisuasso.
Oh, that's I like the I like how it sounds.
Sick name. We got some Osceolos. We got
mainland Italy or like where
near Naples. Yeah.
Near Naples.
Yeah, near Naples. Avellino.
Yeah, I like it.
Lovely place. Do not recommend doing your laundry there at the laundromat. Well, you could do yours. My wife and I dropped our laundry, went and had some wine, came back. They were like, here you go. It was all folded up, and we got back to where we were staying. And the colors of most of our clothes were different than they had been. And all of my wife's underwear was gone.
Just gone.
Just, they just took
in
it.
In a vending machine somewhere
they
in Japan.
They just took it.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. Wild.
That's also the second instance of clothes turning a different color so far in this very young recording.
We can...
Sorry, I keep going back to the trauma.
We can get that even more. I've got so many thoughts going through my head about clothes changing.
But your family is basically... is from your... So this is going back on your dad's side, at least.
Dad's side.
Two generations. You're
right,
like a second
Italy.
Generation.
Yeah. We went... My wife and I were in Italy last summer and like... met like one of my cousins who still lives there, who like it was really neat. It was
totally
a really cool experience to be
so
like
cool.
Hey, we're in this small town. I was like in very broken Italian. My wife speaks better Italian than I do. And she like did most of the communication, but we asked this guy at like a winery that we had just showed up at, who also is a relative of mine, and we were like, can we have a tour? And he was like, huh? Like, I'm not, what? And we're like, we'd like a tour. He's like, all right, let's go. And he just walked us through this place. And during it, I was like, do you know? And like, asked him the name of my cousin. And he was like, the veterinarian? I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I know him. Hold on. He called him. Dude was there in 5 minutes.
Amazing.
It was great. And like, showed up. And my wife was like, oh, you guys are clearly related. Like,
but yeah, it was obvious.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was obvious.
It was pretty cool.
I love that.
Yeah. So, Boston was
Boston.
Like, we went there almost every weekend growing up as a kid. Like, my dad's sister still lived in the Boston area. His parents were there. We'd go down. We'd have, like, big Italian meals on Sundays in the north end of Boston or at one of their homes and then drive back up to New Hampshire. So it was a big part of my life. So when I graduated high school, my friends and I decided to go live in Boston.
Okay.
For a summer.
And if you're born in... 80, this is like late 90s.
Late
90s. Right?
Yep.
Right before the millennium.
I graduated high school in 99.
Okay.
So, you know, we definitely in the year 2000. In the year 2000. I don't know if there's like trademark shit on that, but I had to. I said it.
I'm leaving it in. I'll take
the. Personal rules.
Yeah. I'll take the flack.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Well, your whole podcast is going down because of that.
It's just libel and slander and copyright infringement all over the place. Yeah.
But we celebrated Y2K.
In Boston.
We actually went to New York, but like.
I was in New York. I lived in New York during.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't explode.
And then nothing happened.
What you couldn't see because you're listening to this was us getting more beers, which is great.
Yeah. Who was that, though? Let's give them a shout out.
That's
that
Peter.
Peter.
Peter's from Vermont.
Oh.
So he is an upside downer.
He's upside
downer.
Yeah. Is that a thing like New Hampshire people call Vermonters upside downers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love you, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
But you're upside down.
But you're upside down. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, big upside downer over here.
Beans is trying to meld into my body at the moment. Thank you, Peter. Peter?
That's right. Peter. Yeah.
Thank you, Peter.
That's right.
Appreciate it.
Anyway, nice little tangent there.
So you're in
Boston.
You were you living in Boston and then just visited New York for
yes.
Y2K?
So I went to college in upstate New York, in central New York.
Not Ithaca.
Close to Ithaca, but not Ithaca.
There's a pun. Ithaca is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. There's t-shirts and
it's
everything.
It's gorgeous.
I went to Ithaca during college, like went to check it out, and there was a music venue near there that was pretty good, called the Rungovian Embassy. Where I used to play. It was this weird, wild place, but it was lovely.
That's also the second time you've mentioned playing music.
Oh, yeah, I was in a band for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. They did, like, Sweet Child of Mine, Welcome to the Jungle, mm-hmm. like, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, all sorts of stuff.
It's just a band.
I was not in Guns N' Roses.
Oh, got it.
That's
okay.
Just a band. I just wanted to know if you knew who they were.
I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah. It's an important... You thought you'd be asking the questions. Yeah, I played... drums were a big part of my life.
So fun. Right? Drums are
like,
fun.
Drums are fun. Basically, like... at our little tiny school system in Hopkinton, New Hampshire. There was a point where I was required to either be in chorus or play an instrument. There was like, my singing voice is so bad and was then and still is now.
I just went to karaoke last night and withdrew.
Just went into the chorus room and was like, hey, I'm not going to do this. Check this out. And sang something. Like, I think like, Old King Wenceslas or something, and then they were like, yeah, you don't have to do chorus, but you have to figure something out.
Also, know thyself.
Yeah.
As long as exactly. We know these things about ourselves.
And the decision I made was, oh, I have to play an instrument now. My parents were like, well, if you're not doing chorus, you gotta do an instrument. I think I kind of had this dream that I would just be like snowboarding when everyone else is a chorus, but not what happened. And so to kind of like be a rebellious little, you know, like preteen, mm-hmm. I was like, cool, I have to take an instrument. I'm taking the drums.
Yeah.
Because those things are loud. Right. Yeah. And
was the pressure coming from your parents or was it a requirement school district?
I believe there was a requirement to have some sort of music arts at the school district.
I grew up the same way. And I feel like this, for younger listeners, they might be like, what?
They don't do that anymore?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. It was like you had.
In general, arts funding and education funding.
Funding in general, not there. So, yeah. It's,
yeah, so the fact that, like, you're required to learn another language or you're required to either sing or play an instrument is, like, I think that might be a little more of a foreign idea.
To people now, huh?
Yeah,
it was, like, it was literally, like, the guy who, you know, not my next-door neighbor, per se, because, like, we lived in the middle of the woods, like, but the next house to our house in the woods.
No fences.
Rock walls, just stone walls everywhere. Mm-hmm. Old, like, you know, King George bullshit. But my next door neighbor was the music teacher at the school.
And you already said everyone knew each other.
He was my music teacher, and like, but it was cool. But he taught everyone, like, you know, it was like drums, saxophone, flute, trumpet, piano. Like, he knew like how to play everything a little bit.
Yeah.
And within, like, 3 months, basically, he, like, called my parents, was like, you got to get this kid into real drum situations.
Yeah.
Because he has already surpassed what I can teach him.
Yes.
And I was, like, in, like, fifth grade, right? And I was like, all right, this is great. So, like, started doing the thing, playing the drums all through, like...
When did playing with other people in your own little bands outside of school?
So, the first in-school performance, I played the drum set, big deal. With the steel drum band, and we did Under the Sea.
Okay.
Totally sick. Turns out, when I go back and visit now, that music teacher still lives in Concord, New Hampshire, smokes a ton of weed.
Good.
Who knew when he had the middle school kids doing steel drums? You know, who knew?
Did he
who
just
knew?
Smell funny?
He's just baked all the time.
That's
really
excellent.
Good musician.
Yes.
But so, yeah, so I did that, and then in high school, I went to a boarding school for high school. Which my wife was like forever, like until like she went with me. She's like, oh, I thought you meant you got like sent to reform school, like you're, like military school or whatever. I was like, no, it was like a
prep school.
It was a prep school. It was there was a decision made to go there, which I think was great. there was a lot more opportunity in my town for me to, would have been for me to like really get into mischief and maybe not even finish high school.
Yeah.
And instead I went the other direction and went to like
crime, drugs, what, like what kind of mischief? All of the above.
I mean, again, small town. Every class had about like 75 people in it when we were in first grade. And by the time I got to graduation, maybe like 40 of those people maybe made it all the way through high school.
Wow.
Right. So like it was just, and a lot of my friends, like they got through it, but like there was a lot of like drug use and like just shit that was, they were like, why am I going to school?
Yeah.
Or they'd go like, you know, get a job like working for the local like gravel guy or something, and they're like, I can make a bunch of money. Yeah, so
I don't think it's a controversial theory, but it just seems obvious to me, like, it's because there's nothing to do, there's no direction, like
nothing to do. We like like what we did for parties as like teenagers was like we'd go to like a sand pit,
right,
and you'd just be at the sand pit and you'd just be
drinking smoking, and
Then
which is exactly
would get in their
what
cars and drive home,
right?
Like 15 miles in the dark in the woods, and you're like, that's fucking terrifying.
New Hampshire is far as the crow flies from Texas, but same, like it's, the small town, like town, probably California, like same,
right, it's
fucking
all the same
thing.
It's all the same shit. Yeah. Yeah, so when I went to a boarding school, and at the boarding school, there were a lot more arts. Really, like, they did a good job of providing a lot of stuff there. And so there was, like, a band room that, like, we had to use.
With
so
all
like,
the instruments, like...
Like, we brought the instruments there, and we set them up, and, like, there was, like, me and some buddies, and there were, like, two other total bands in the whole high school, and so we all had keys to this room, and we'd like go in there and we like painted the walls with like, you know, like Jerry Garcia and Bob Marley.
I was just
like,
about to ask like kind of genres or styles.
Yeah, we played a lot of Grateful Dead covers, but then we one of the kids that I was playing with ended up going to the Berklee School of Music. Ooh. For like I played music with this kid for years, and then like our senior year of high school, when it was finally like college applications, we all learned that he was actually ranked as like the number one cellist in the United States, and he like kept it a secret from us because he thought it was like a, like we'd make fun of him,
right?
And we're like, Neil, that's awesome, holy shit, that's
yeah.
But so he played the bass, but like he went to Berklee on this like early program of like, you're a young musical genius, come here even though you're not in college yet, and came back and was like, have you guys heard like Miles Davis, Agartha.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And so we started doing like,
he got
stuff.
The exposure.
He got all this exposure
and brought it back.
Music
to
that we'd
you.
Never heard. And so we started playing like kind of out there stuff. You know, like I had long hair, which is funny because I have no hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why
you got it out of the way.
Yeah, I got rid of my hair. It started falling out when I was in college.
Okay.
Hilarious stuff.
Yeah.
Really, like, when you're really coming into your own and, like, trying to develop, like, security as a human, having male pattern baldness, like, 19 is a great way to do it. So, we started playing, like, you know, just... We moved from just playing, like, Grateful Dead and Allman Brothers covers to, like, then playing more, like, some, like, weird Miles Davis stuff, like, messing around in different time signatures.
You can't really cover...
You can't really cover it, but it was jazz when
it's
I was doing that.
Inspired,
and like, yeah, and
like, adjacent, or
yeah,
something. Yeah.
And
yeah.
We like played like, you know, like some Stevie Wonder songs.
Ooh,
and like
fun.
Did some kind of cool stuff, which was fun.
And you're still playing drums.
I still play the drums once a month. But yeah, so that's
I meant at the time.
Oh, then yeah.
You're the drummer.
I was the drummer.
Yeah.
And so that happened, and then like, you know, we all went off to college, and I joined a band, like just kind of started a band in college
in upstate New York,
and we played a bunch of like, we actually like went and played, like there were three bars in the town where I went to school, and like one of them had a bowling alley, a pizza place, and like a music little
stage.
Music room in the bar.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And we play there every week, and we get paid like $50 to play there.
It's a big deal.
Oh, I hope my parents listen to this, because it's funny, because I bought a car that they assumed I bought with the money I made from playing shows at this bar all the time, but actually I was selling pot.
Yes.
and traded somebody for a two-door Jeep, traded him a half ounce of weed, and he gave me the car.
This is just the beginning of your entrepreneurial
That's right, exactly.
Journey.
Exactly,
is,
totally.
Yeah, is, yeah. What that, is what I'm hearing.
But so, yeah, so it was like just like the kids I was playing with in college, we all, when we finished college, we moved to Boston to pursue being that band. Yeah. We had like gotten to the point where when we were seniors in college, we were playing shows at other colleges and like in New York City and in Boston and like... it was neat. And we're like, we can do this.
What was the band called?
That band was called Great American. And then the dude...
Like, were you doing originals yet? Or
oh, yeah,
still?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All, like, we would... We had, like, we put out, like, a full album or two.
Hell and yeah.
Like, of original music. We would go and play, like... We got paid so much money as that band, like, as far as bands go, because we were, like, we also could do covers, so we'd play, like, every Irish pub on, like, Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Yes.
We'd go and do four nights in a row where, like, you'd play for 3 hours.
Yeah.
We had to play, like, multiple sets for 3 hours.
I was gonna say intermission, yeah.
And, like, we had to pepper in, like, a bunch of covers because people wanted to hear that at these bars.
Yeah.
And you wanted to, like, get them to like you in that way. And also, like, that's just a lot of material.
Yeah.
But they'd pay us, like, $400 or $500 a show.
And you're, like, a four-piece?
Yeah.
Three-piece? Four-piece?
Four-piece at that point, which is, like, unheard of for bands to
Correct.
Be paid that much money. Like,
that's $33 an hour.
Oh, so that's more than I make right now. You should own a small like, business.
Yeah. Did you think, though, what I'm wondering is, did you think for a minute that this might, that music might be... What you did?
100%. That yeah. was the plan. That was the dream. That
For
was
how
the
many years,
so
roughly?
I'll backtrack a little bit to that. While I was in college, two of my friends and I, when the school year ended, we hopped in a car and drove to California.
Yes.
To lived in Road Berkeley
trip.
For a summer, and that's what
lived
I was like.
Lived in Berkeley.
Lived in Berkeley for the whole summer.
Like in a co-op or something? Like what?
Yeah, we lived
or with friends or?
We lived in. We found like a garage above a frat house, and like I think it was like we each paid like $300 each or something for the entire summer to live in this thing.
This is great. Was this your first time in California?
Yeah.
What did
yeah,
you
yeah.
think,
it was,
man?
I loved it. I yeah. immediately loved it. I was like, yes, this place, like.
What was it?
Everything. It was like, you know, I guess I'd been to California. So I came here a few weeks before we drove out here. My buddy and I flew out to try and find jobs, which is really funny to think about. Like, me now knowing what I know versus me then, like, we like told our parents like we're gonna go get our summer jobs lined up, and flew out and like I went to restaurants. I was like, yeah, I'll be here in like a month. Can I get a job? And they're like, you're what? Yeah, yeah, sure. Like, and I was like,
was
cool.
This Bay Area?
Yeah,
still?
This is okay. in Berkeley. This is in Berkeley,
okay.
right?
Okay.
So that was just funny. But anyway, so like I remember the first time landing at SFO. We from SFO we took BART into the city. Mm-hmm. My buddy and I, we got sent immediately. We're like, oh, what should we do? And somebody's like, take this bus, get off at this stop. We're like, great. And they sent us right to the heart of the Castro, which was great. And we were like, oh, okay. Like, I'm from New Hampshire. Like, this is wild. This is great.
Yeah.
And then we went up to the Haight and we like bought some weed from somebody and mm-hmm. smoked, you know, like got stoned. And I was like, but I remember like the landscape. Mm-hmm. of the Bay Area, mm-hmm. like just it was so different.
Yep.
Like it's so different than anywhere I'd been. And I was just like, this is gorgeous. This is awesome. These hills are so cool. Like how is the ocean right there? And we're, you know, like all the things.
None of it makes sense.
And like there was diversity.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so cool. Look at this. Like this is great. So
right away, there was no pause. You're just like,
I was like, I called my dad. I was like,
awesome.
This place is great.
Yeah.
Like, you said I'd hate it. And he's like, well, I just didn't want you to move there too early.
Yeah.
I was like, remember when I was like, should I apply to schools in California? And he was like, no, you'd hate it.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like when we finished college and moved to Boston, I wanted to move to San Francisco. And one of the dudes in the band was like, had a very logical argument that we should go to Boston because we had already been playing shows there.
Established, kind
of.
Yeah.
It's close to New York, and like 99% of our college alumni moved to Boston, New York, and like we had a built-in fan base. So we did that. And then a year later, he quit the band. Mm. He's like, all right, cool, that was fun. I'm actually going to go to med school. That was my plan the whole time. And we're like, oh, huh? And so I was like, well, fuck you. And also, now we're moving to San Francisco.
Boom. And that was the premise of the road trip? Or
yeah, and my bandmates were like, let's do it. We're in. One of them had never been to California. He's like, I just trust you. You've talked about that place for years. About being. I was like, great. And we packed up and we drove out.
You were the brochure.
Yeah.
The pamphlet. What year-ish?
2004.
Specifically. Not even-ish. 2004.
That's
the one. Okay.
And so we came out here and we started, when the dude quit Great American, the three of us started playing like different music, which is way better. We got paid like nothing ever, but it was much better music. And like,
that's how things work.
And we came out here and we ended up, sort of being like, well, if we live in California and our families are all on the East Coast, we should go see them a lot. Then we should tour there to do it. And we should still see our friends. And so we spent like from like 2006 to 2005 to 2010, on average, probably spent like 5 months a year on the road.
Awesome.
Some years were bigger than others. Like,
yeah.
Did like a couple like 3 month long tours.
Yeah.
Just living out of a van, driving around the country.
Yep.
Hence why I've peed on all the states.
All right. That'll do it. In my experience, I played a little bit of music, kind of like punk emo stuff.
Yeah.
Playing shows is the number one. Touring is a close second.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Like
the actual shows, whether they're in your hometown or wherever, like the thrill and the adrenaline of a show. But then touring, I feel like the reason it's second is because it's not all good.
Well, that's
it's a lot of good.
I was going to say that's the funny part about is the show actually the highlight? Because
a lot of shows aren't good.
We played so many shows. Like we would show up places on like a Sunday night, and like this is like I booked all of our shows. And like, you know, we had the internet, it's not that long ago, but it wasn't like we didn't have smartphones.
Correct.
There was no Spotify.
We had email.
There was no Facebook. There was none of that.
Yeah.
We had email, and I would email these places and be like, and I would physically mail them like show posters and CDs and all the shit.
Yep.
And we'd get there, we'd get to like, you know, like we're in like, you know, Asheville. We're in like, you know, or somewhere, and like we would show up and they'd be like, oh, we forgot to put a local band on the bill. No one's going to be here tonight.
Right.
And we would literally play to like a sound person and a bartender.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess that was worth it. I don't know. But like, but the shows that like, there were also shows where like members of the band, not me, so you could guess it was the other two. like, have been fighting in the van on the way.
Oh,
like,
good.
So, like, we're on stage and it's so tense, and you're like, I don't know about this show.
Yeah.
We also played.
That might come across to the audience.
Yeah, we played somebody's wedding once that hired us and, like, was like, we want you to play your original songs. We love it. You're our favorite band. We're like, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Like, our stuff's kind of, like, screamy and dark and, like.
Oh.
And they were like, yeah, we love it. And, like, we got to the wedding and it rained, so everything had to be moved into this, like, pavilion. And it was clear the two families like knew each other and did not like each other.
Oh my God,
and
it gets
then
better.
And then we started playing, and people were like, "What is wrong with you? This is like depressing." Like what? And we're just like, "So that was awkward."
Where was that?
That was in New York State, actually. That was like near Syracuse, New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's very strange.
Okay, let's go back to Berkeley.
Yeah.
Was that the like? You moving here and not turning back?
That was the summer. So that was, I spent the summer here. I went back, finished college.
Ah.
And then moving here was after spending some time in Boston.
Was it not even a question after your time here and finishing? You're just like, that's where I'm going.
I was like, that's it. That's the best place.
Did you come? You came with your band member.
Yeah.
Your bandmates.
Yeah. And our buddy Adam, who like, I didn't know very well. But he emailed our band through our band website and was like, hey, I heard you guys are moving to California. Can I come with you? We're like, sure.
Some people might not really. I relate. This could be my life. Anyway.
It was great.
Yeah, it's just how things. Up. Shit just happened.
Yeah, I picked him up at his mom's house.
Yeah.
And we like started driving cross country, and like 45 minutes into the drive, we're like, we don't know each other at all, do we? Like, we were like trying to make small talk, and we're like, wow, we don't do it. It was great. We're like absolutely dear friends still to this day.
Right. Lots of time to get to know each other.
It was great. We're like, all right, like, sure, you can move to California with us as a band. Sure.
Yeah. So when you did the move,
yeah.
Did you go to Berkeley again or
straight to San Francisco?
Okay. And this is 2004.
2004.
Where?
The Mission.
Craigslist or friends or strangers?
I walked around the Mission.
Yeah.
Looking and calling, like writing down numbers, didn't have a cell phone. It's so like writing down the phone numbers and then going to a phone and calling.
Yep.
And was like outside of my apartment where I still live to this day.
Yes.
And this dude like poked his head out the window when like he heard us like talking and like seeing the for rent sign in the window. Poked his head out the window, was like, oh, do you guys want to see the place?
That was Mark DeVito, co-owner of Standard Deviant Brewing. Check back next week for part two with Mark, which drops next Tuesday wherever you get podcasts. Music for Storied San Francisco was produced, performed, and curated by Otis McDonald. Aaron Lim of Bitch Talk Podcast is our contributing producer. And the show is produced and hosted by me, Jeff Hunt. Now in our sixth season, we have more than 200 episodes available on our website, storiedsf.com. or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're able to, please rate and review the show, and drop us a line at storiedsf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Keep rejecting those silly doom loop narratives about our city. Stay wacky, weird, healthy, and creative. And we'll see you next time on Storied San Francisco. We acknowledge and respect the first humans of the unceded land we call San Francisco, the Ramaytush Ohlone. We condemn the genocide of these and other tribes across the Western Hemisphere. We honor their legacy and history, and we support rematriation and sovereignty efforts.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.